The title of this message today is The Creation of a New America. Subtitle is Prophetic Discernment. If you would turn to Proverbs, the 29th chapter, the 2nd verse, we will begin. When you're there, just put your hand up. Oh, okay, Miss Kim and Ken are there, so we will start. Proverbs 29:2 says, "And when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. And when a wicked man rules, the people groan." As we move forward into 2015, we should begin to start recognizing the manifestation of this new America. The thinking of hope and change has been demonically inspired or satanically inspired and has been going on for well over 100 years in this nation. And what has happened is the spirit that has guided the founding fathers to create this republic for us to live in and begin to take the gospel to the nations has been replaced by another spirit. A spirit that our founders did not know. And this is the Antichrist spirit. And what I want you to understand today is that God is in control. He knows where you are. He knows what you need. But He wants to position the church in such a way that when all this shaking goes on, we can see that as an opportunity to win people to Jesus Christ. Because after all, the only thing left to happen is His coming. And so what we want to be able to understand is that no matter how evil and how wicked things get, our job is to make ourselves ready. Here. Because it says in Scripture, the bride made herself ready. And who's the bride? It's all of us. At least those of us who live what we're saying. We make ourselves ready by jettisoning the garbage that's in our lives and we live for Jesus Christ. Fulfilling the gospel or the mandate, which is called the Great Commission, by getting people into Jesus Christ as quickly as possible. There should be an earnest desire within our hearts. Now, as this thing continues to go on, there is a plan upon this nation to enslave every boy, girl, man, woman to the Antichrist's position. Those of us who are free in Jesus Christ and know who we are in Jesus Christ and understand our rights, it doesn't matter what the Antichrist does or this Antichrist spirit at this present. What matters is first understanding that in one generation, God has been dethroned from His influence upon this nation. Two, there has been a subversion attempt to infiltrate the house of God, the church of God, and anesthetize them with a spirit of apathy and hopelessness. And God is on the throne. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so what I want us to do is turn to Exodus, the first chapter. We will start in verse 6 and read through verse 14. This is the example, the prophetic example of what is happening in the land today as we know it. Are we there? How many of us are there? Exodus 1. Starting in verse 6, we will read the 14. And it says, "Now Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died. But the Israelites were fruitful and multiplied greatly and became exceedingly numerous, so that the land was filled with them. Then a new king, who did not know about Joseph, came to power in Egypt. He said to his people, 'Look, the Israelites have become too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, we'll join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country.'" So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor, and they built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for Pharaoh. But the more that they oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread. So the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with hard labor in brick and in mortar and all kinds of work in the fields. In all their labors, the Egyptians used them ruthlessly. Some keys, some prophetic keys I want to make you aware of, and of course you probably are starting to pick through these things, is Joseph. Who was Joseph? Joseph was the deliverer of Israel. He was the son of Israel who brought Israel down into the land of Goshen, where they would be free to multiply and enjoy the fruits of their labors while a tremendous drought was coming upon the land. And Joseph is what we call a Christophany. He is an example of Jesus Christ. The interesting thing is there was another king that arose. This other king did not know Joseph. So if you put the two together, this other king was not saved. Okay? No matter what acclamations and claims that people make, you could see what they're all about by the fruit that they produce. We know that this king, this Pharaoh, because he didn't know Christ, he dealt shrewdly with Israel. This word shrewdly is very interesting in that it talks about a wicked plan in order to oppress people. Oppress is a neat word because it means a process. There was a process that was being enacted to oppress the people of God. And much today, there is a process that is at work right now to oppress the people of God in this nation. But we are aware of what is happening. We understand that it's Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist. The problem in it is there is also a second spirit working, and that spirit is the spirit of the Leviathan that wraps itself around and is slowly squeezing the life out of God's people or the people of this nation. And how is that happening? Through economic oppression and high taxation. And I will show you how that plan has started way back with the Egyptians and the Israelites. Joseph died and a new Pharaoh came to pass, and we see what is happening to the children of Israel, how they are growing in number and growing because they were in Goshen, which was the best land in Egypt. It was at the mouth of all the contributaries of the Nile flowing into the Mediterranean, and it was the most fertile area. So, of course, they dwelt in the best of Egypt. Pharaoh didn't want that. Pharaoh wanted that land, and he wanted to oppress these people because he had a plan in which to do that. And it was subtle, and it was over time. It was gradual. As I said, this plan by the Antichrist spirit has been going on for over 100 years. The names and the faces have been changed throughout those years, but it is the same spirit that is trying to work his work to oppress this nation. We know that in the last days there will be a one world government, a one world religion, and a one world economic system. And so, of course, that is being put together even as we are speaking today. In Genesis 3:7, God goes to Moses, who is a deliverer, who is, again, another Christophany of Jesus Christ. And he says something really interesting to Moses. He says, he comes down to Moses and he says to them, he identifies with Israel and he knows the suffering that they are going through. Jesus Christ came to this world not only to set us free from the bondage of sin, making us legitimate sons and daughters in his house, but he identifies himself with us. God identifies with his people. He knows what you're suffering. He knows what you're going through. And yet, he is in control. He is going to work it out for your favor and mine. The interesting thing is that this enslavement that was going on was a systematic and progressive plan to undermine the personal freedoms and the mandate of Genesis 1:28 God gave to his people. Anybody remember what that mandate is? Just shout it out. To multiply, be fruitful, to subdue the earth, and to take dominion. That is a mandate for every person on this planet in Jesus Christ. Jesus fulfilled it so that all the promises that have come to him are found in him and are yea and amen in him. You see, the promises were given not to just bless us, but to fulfill the call of the Genesis 1:28 mandate. And if we are not doing those things in order to set ourselves free, if we're allowing the enemy to beat our brains in, then you're in bondage. And a person in bondage cannot fulfill their God-ordained destiny. Let me say that again. A person who is still in bondage cannot fulfill their God-ordained destiny. Pharaoh's challenge was to rule over God's people through a financial servitude and debt, essentially making them wards of his state. Does anybody know what that is called today? It's called socialism. It's interesting how these words are being thrown out there and people don't know what that means. People don't understand the horrors of what is coming upon the land. We have to understand that this plan is so insidious that even the religious minded have been deluded into thinking that they're okay. The fact of the matter is that even some of the subjects of Pharaoh's land were religious. Some were just ordinary people like you and I who don't want intrusion with government. We just want to live our lives, enjoy our friends, and have a meal and enjoy life. There was even some there who would go to the bankers because their debt was so heavy. They would go and refinance their debts and work such things that they became even in greater debt than what they were before. And then finally there are those group, which I like to call the remnant, those who worship Jehovah, those who were true to God and lived their lives in such a way to please, but as long as they kept it secret, it was okay with Pharaoh. The moment they came out and began to rebel against the oppression, the government shut them down. The government threw them in jail. You see, what is so insidious about this plan is that Israel did not become slaves because of a war. Because we would all understand slavery because you were conquered. And you became slaves to the whims of that king or whatever. No, they became slaves gradually and oppressively because they were citizens under this king, stating that this government was oppressing its people. Why? Because Pharaoh cared less about the people. He only wanted what he wanted. He only wanted his agenda fulfilled. And he didn't care who he crushed in order to get that done. Especially the Jew. We have to understand that for 100 years, the progressives of this nation, the political elite, have been working with programs to addict the people to these social programs in such a way, and then become willing participants by taxing them to pay for this. It's kind of like, everyone's heard the story about the frog being put into the pot, and then you slowly turn the heat up, and the frog will not jump out of the pot because it doesn't realize the graduation of this heat till eventually it's cooked. That is what's happening in America today. And people are giving up their freedoms, their God-ordained freedoms, to have these things that government, in its benevolence, is saying it can provide. Government was never endowed with that power to provide anything for the people. It has always been God who would provide for us. So let's look at some of these terms today. What is statism? Israel became wards of the state. Statism is a fascist concept that renounces individualism. A man's life and work belongs to the state, and while exalting itself as an organic body, it has a supreme leader. Today they are known as elitists and progressives. That is where America is going. It is becoming a social democratic system in which heavy tax burdens are being put upon the people, and the people are saying, this is okay, because after all, there's a program for me. The latest program that I heard is that the government is saying, look, we're going to give you free college education for the next 2 years. My question is, who's paying for it? The problem in that is, government has never been designed to be the all with all, to take care of the populace. God has. And then what we do is, in our freedoms, we look at our personal responsibilities as something we don't want. And so what we have is, we have a people that are unable to deal with their own lives, let alone be responsible for them. And this has been going on for over 100 years. Slowly but surely, this has been happening. The other end of it is that you can't get a job unless you're educated. But the student loans are so heavy, and the interest rates on these loans are so heavy, that when you get out of college, there are few jobs. Why? Because the state controls everything. Even the economic development of its economy. Marxism. We all heard of Marxism, right? Marxism is a concept of thinking that deals primarily with class struggles, common use of materialism that has a surplus value to be controlled by a central totalitarian government and is distributed to the masses for the common good of all. This government has been propagating this nonsense for the common good of all. That I need to tax you more for the common good of those who don't have anything. And we all know the story of Joe the plumber and whatnot. But understand, I am talking spirit. I am not talking about a personality or a person. Because if we do not rise up against this oppressive spirit, we will find ourselves enslaved, some of us. Communism is the thought that the masses make up a community where all property holdings are used for the common good and ownership is ascribed to the state. The state controls the economic and social activities of the people through totalitarian oversight by a single central government party. Now you have to be party affiliated. Those of you who know my history understand that her parents came from a totalitarian country. And so we understand the oppression that is going on in these countries. That is happening right now in this nation, and the church is beginning to start waking up. Churches like ours are beginning to wake up. There is a prophetic voice crying in the wind to wake the church up to these norms. Socialism. This is where we're going, but this is not the end. Socialism is a thought that control over industry, capital, land, and resources by the community at large or central government. Some personal property ownership is tolerated, but it is controlled through the laws and regulations. It is the first step in departing from capitalism by slowing transition a society, by slowly transitioning a society into communism. You may be saying, well, why doesn't the president sign the bill for the pipeline to get through? Don't you understand that capitalism promotes individualism? You can make as much money as you want. You can help as many people as you desire. But socialism calls wealth bad, evil. That those who work hard to create the wealth want to keep on to it. But do you think it's fair that for every dollar that they make, 50 to 60% of that dollar goes to the government? How would you feel if that was happening to your paycheck? Well, Pastor, I'm glad it's only 25 to 30%. It shouldn't even be that high. It should not be that high. You see, communism, socialism, fascism is filled with corruption. Why? Because there's no real accountability by the people of their politicians. At least in this country, there still is some measure of accountability for what they do. But it is eroding because people don't want to take responsibility of their lives. The key to understanding these concepts is that they require a strong central government that controls the masses and meets out resources as they see fit. Individualism and personal property rights are non-existent. Freedom is what the state declares it is, not God. In fact, God or any belief in God is attacked mercilessly and ridiculed by the state against those who adhere to his reality by faith. The state declares there is no God, for the state is God, small g. That's why when I talk about we are living in an age that is post-Christian, how many of us, I don't want to see a show of hands, how many of us have some sort of subsidy going on in our lives? I do. You know, I have some Social Security issue that comes in. Everywhere, somewhere, that is happening. And God is shaking the tree to get us to come out of this thing before it's too late, because when this government fails, and you have to understand, this government is going to fail. Why? Because Jesus Christ is coming for a church. And it has been destined that all the governments of this world will fail because it is under the spirit of Antichrist. We know that Antichrist, the person who will be known as Antichrist, will have the full embodiment of this spirit. And will only be concerned about how to oppress the people of God, because his desire is to rule the nations. So what do we have today? We have the Word of God, which has given us the foundations for us individually, principles to build our lives, principles to build the church, His kingdom, and this nation. And through divine guidance and Bible teaching, the laws that govern our society. That has given to us the principles of liberty with self-discipline, has taught us personal responsibility, and the value of hard work and thrift. With the ability to create wealth, and we can create as much wealth as we want, but this government wants to kill capitalism. Understand this. That's why you're having so much problems in the government and why these things don't happen. You would think that this government, seeing that people need jobs, would run right out and do this, even with all the surveys and all the testing and stuff that is going on. This government would want its people to prosper. It does not want you to prosper. It does not want you to think. It wants to tell you what to think, how to think, where to work, make money, and how to spend your money. Because you are giving up your freedoms for bread. This is why God hated Esau. He gave up his birthright for food. Are you willing to give up your birthright in Jesus Christ for whatever the world throws at you? You have to understand that this spirit has been going on for 100 years. It knows the ins and outs of the American Constitution and only does what it wants for the common good for the nation. It works behind the scenes, implementing its plan by stealth. It understands the democracy and its separation of powers and uses them as instruments to further its agenda. Not for the good of the people, its agenda. He knows that the law, as long as he knows that the law, as long as he's in power to use it. See, Pharaoh was the law. He embodied it. He had the power of the sword and the power of the purse in his hands. He was absolute in control. And that's what a centralized government wants. It wants absolute control over every aspect of your life and my life. And it does this through economic bondage. This Antichrist spirit doesn't attack the boundaries of government that governs us directly, because that would be too dangerous and may prematurely expose the plan. The church is asleep and has not been paying attention, because the church has drank the Kool-Aid of the separation of church and state. If you know your history and if you know your constitutional rights, the state does not have a right to control the church. The church has the right to hold the government responsible. And that is what we're going to do. We are going to rise up and hold our politicians accountable. At the same time, this weaving of this insidious plan is going on right before our eyes. This spirit exhorts us to trust government. Trust government. With opinion polls, popular people opinion polls are so low that they're in the single digits. Can you imagine trying to pay off $18 trillion, which that's not even the totality of the indebtedness of this nation? Multiply that by 5, and that wouldn't even come close to really what we owe as a nation, because you have to pay that back. This spirit stymies any attempt to stimulate a capitalistic free market system. It says it is designed by corruption. There is corrupt businessmen. Those wealthy businessmen are so corrupt. They're the ones that give you and me a job. They're the ones that work hard. They're the ones that that are concerned about your life and your family's life and figuring out ways to generate a business so that you would have a job. And I'm not saying capitalism is the answer. I'm saying it's more to God's standard than anything else. Yes, this spirit is alive and well and actively dismantling the republic piece by piece into something else. and it continues to guide his servants to violate the United States Constitution for the good of all. Thus cutting into the meaning, we the people. It is not we the people any longer. Slave masters are at work at Congress to stop any attempt to thwart his agenda, to repeal any action that has already been set in motion, clearly stating that it is the opposition to this agenda that is at fault. They are acting as obstructionists to this utopian mindset. Many will simply say that we're naive, that we're crazy, we're out of touch. We're disconnected from the realities. But the fact of the matter is, they are. They truly believe that the American people are stupid and incapable of taking responsibility for their lives. And I have to tell you, I've seen some of this. And I would have to agree marginally. They just need a little bit of training and a little bit of intestinal fortitude to do this. They oppose the will of the people to carry out the will of this Antichrist spirit, and they do it arrogantly. This spirit never wastes a crisis. The latest crisis is what is happening in France with the assassination of people, and these Islamic terrorists are running around rampant. Do you not ask questions why our government doesn't label them as Islamic terrorists? We need to have a talk. I'll tell you why. The spirit laughs at us and is busy promoting disunity, unrighteousness, rebellion. It laughs at moral ethics. It promotes class envy. And it creates strife and tension everywhere it goes because of these crises. You see, it doesn't promote the good of the people. It promotes the crisis in which to further its agenda. And in some cases, believe it or not, it actually manufactures some of these instances to further promote. It rolls through fear and trepidation. It's nudging us into the pens of socialism by passing more rules and regulations and fines and fees with additional taxes that are created to promote this new America. And this new America is its populace as subservient slaves to it. This spirit is cunning, crafty, and is revolutionary in nature. And its change is through seduction. It seduces people. This is what Antichrist is all about. If you read the scriptures and you talk, see what it talks about Antichrist, it talks about his charisma. Even Satan turns himself into an angel of light. I'm not saying that Obama and his minions are Satan, but what I am saying is they are being influenced by this spirit. Because they do have a Marxist agenda. And that agenda is virtually going unchallenged right before our eyes. The church has been blinded and has been seduced by this spirit of apathy. Evil men are carrying out this sinister plan because they believe that the Bible is nothing more than a fairy tale and that the Lord Almighty is nothing more than a mythical entity. That's the truth. And we've heard it, the soundbite, that President Obama said, you know, people of faith are weak-minded and they cling onto their guns. Do you not know that they are actively working how to take the guns out of the control of the citizenry? Because that is the last thing that they need to do in order for their army to roll over us. And that's the only thing that's impeding them right now. And as I said, the church has retreated because it has drank the Kool-Aid of separation of church and state. What has happened in this one generation of the church withdrawing? Abortion is up. The murdering of unborn children is up. Families are falling apart at an incredible rate. Marriage is being redefined. Children are falling into the cracks because it is broken society. People just want to do what they want to do. Don't tell me what I got to do. Well, you know what? As pastor, I have the right to tell you. And I'm telling you right now, if you're even entertaining these thoughts, you're in sin and need to repent. Because you can't be called a child of God and want your own stuff, want your own thing. An increase of babies being born out of wedlock and the creation of ambassadorization of America by irresponsible people while being addicted to drugs because increasingly society is unable to deal with the pain that we are creating and that government is so happy to provide for us. Freedom now means a government that can do what it wants without restraint. It surveys its citizenry with cameras. Last night, Rashima and I were watching the news, and there was a new courthouse built. 8 floors, had what, 300 cameras in it? And she says, why do they have so many cameras? Because they're surveying the people. They want to know what you're doing. It's Big Brother, 1984, George Orwell, whatever. Technology within technology that reads your electronic mail as you sleep. Listens to your phone calls without you even knowing. And has a speed dial of what you shop for and buy at the grocery stores. It knows all this. Even before you hit the parking lot. City code officials are hired to tell you what you can and cannot do with your own property. The hoops that we had to jump through to just get into the building almost made me want to stop. And the Holy Spirit is now telling me that we need to start preparing for the driveway. I just love the hoops that I'm going to have to jump through these communists. Pray that God gives us favor. What you see is the creation of the totalitarian state and the intrusion of government upon our lives. As we continue to go into the 21st century, this redefinition of freedom is going to continue if there is no uprising against it. Freedom once meant free from the impulsions and compulsions of government has now meant freedom from any city government responsibility and forward thinking, or what I call common sense, to a centralization of government where they determine what's good for you and your family. Do you know in China they tell you how many children you can have? And if you have more than the number that they tell you you can have, you go to prison. And they kill that child. And you pay a fine for doing what God says you need to do. That's all right. The Chinese love us. They're okay. They make our TVs and cars and all kinds of stuff. They're our friends. Patriotism once meant that it was an act of a person who fought against oppressive and tyrannical government. Today it means that one who works for the common good of all and pays their fair share of taxes. And if not, you're a criminal and you're thrown in jail. Which I kind of think is really pretty cool, because when you get thrown in jail, you probably live better. Because the state's paying for everything. I hope some of you come and visit me in jail, because that's where I'm destined. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." What is Isaiah saying here? In these last days, everything is being turned around, upside down. Things that were once good are now saying they're evil. Once things that were evil, like homosexuality, are now saying it's good. Political correctness is so bad that you can't even say to a person in the morning, "Good morning," you use something in there, because that's harassment. And this is the liberal agenda that we're all dealing with. No power on earth can conquer America from without. But we are cracking from within. The corruption, the anarchy, the rebellion against authority, the breakdown of the family unit is pervasive through our society. And the issues are complex. But God knows and is the answer to all those and more. Unless the church arises and drives back this darkness by throwing off the shackles of deception and courageously fights the good fight of faith, all will be lost. If we don't go out there and win people and their hearts change for the Lord Jesus Christ, and then they go and do the same, all is lost. What will happen is we'll all be in jail together singing Kumbaya, waiting for the Lord to deliver us when He destroys this nation because of its perversion and its Antichrist acceptance. Because that was the end of Egypt. You see, we have a mandate from Jesus Christ to tell them He's returning. He sees the problems that you and I are going through. They are real. But He identifies Himself with them to call out on His name. Just because it looks good does not mean that it is good. Just because the wicked are having fun right now, think about their end. Eternal damnation and separation from God Almighty. Those who are closest to me understand that there's been many times I've wanted to give up because I just don't think it's worth it. I would like to go into isolation. My four and no more. And let the rest of God's people figure it out for themselves. But I can't. Because you're too valuable to Him. He paid a heavy price for you and for me. And if you think statism is okay, maybe this is the first time you've heard terms like this, and you're like, "Well, it's not a big deal." Well, you won't get involved in the fight. You won't. Because you have a worldview of how things should be, not a biblical worldview. But as Joshua said to the children of Israel, and I will say to you, as for me and my house, we're going to serve God. Come hell or high water, whatever comes, we're going to serve God. Even if this Pharaoh, this Antichrist spirit, is rising its head up, I am going to stand against it. And my family's going to stand against it. Because that's what God would have us do. Statism is not okay. It is oppressive government. Communism is not okay. We've had a generation of people who don't know what that is. And I'm telling you right now, you don't want to know. The choice is yours. God's going to shake your tree to wake you up, or He's going to shake your tree to leave you out. He's going to shake your tree. You're either going to start trusting that you are a legitimate son and daughter of God, or you're not. You're going to continue to be irresponsible in your life and pretend that you know that what to do with your life as your life falls apart. That's your business. God knows better. We are living in dark times, church. And it's one thing to live in dark times and fight an enemy from without. It's quite another to fight an enemy that's already within your head. I encourage you. Any thoughts that you're battling with selfishness and self-centeredness, rebellion to authority, disunity, perversion, they're not of God. And they shouldn't be in your heart, nor should they be in your mind. The Bible tells us in Romans 12, 1 and 2, present yourself as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And then it says, be no longer conformed to this world, but transformed in the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God for you. You have been creating your own drama, and you need to stop. You need to get right with God so that He can use you properly. Or you will continue to be abused by the Antichrist spirit and not fulfill your destiny. The choice is yours. Amen? Amen. Father, we just thank You for this time. I thank You for this word, God. I thank You, God, that it's not an easy word, but a word we need to hear. I ask, O God, that a spirit of repentance would be our